Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Kirsten Osero. No Jay Binkley today. He is out indefinitely. I'm not sure when he will be back. He's got some personal things to attend to. So I will be holding it down solo until Bink gets back. But still, I am going to be cranking these shows out weekly. And I will make sure that you continue to get the best draft content centered around the Kansas City Chiefs that you'll find anywhere on the internet. I am going to give you a recap of the top performers for the past week of college football. I'll give you my money makers, players that I think made themselves a little money with performances that they had this past weekend or just in the last few weeks, because sometimes you kind of build up to these performances. And then I'll give you a watch list, the teams, the players to watch out for this coming weekend. As we start to see the schedule kind of expand a little bit, there's games on pretty much from Tuesday all the way through the weekend. So a lot of good prospects to watch out for. So, but I want to start with probably one of the biggest topics of Chiefs fandom right now, and it's really centered around the left tackle position. It's a position we've talked about heavily since last year. We talked about it in the going into the draft in 23. We talked a lot about it going through the summer because at that point, you know, we initially thought that it was going to be Juwan Taylor as the left tackle when they signed him. Insider reports were he was going to be the starting left tackle. Then they got to camp and they kind of realized, yeah, actually, he's probably not that good of a left tackle. So what do? They go and sign Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith starting left tackle, Juwan Taylor starting right tackle, and you go and win the Super Bowl. And then during the 23 draft, they did draft Wanya Morris in the third round. Right tackle, they converted him to left tackle, which was a position he initially started at when he was at Tennessee before transferring to OU. And I was adamant all throughout this offseason. I think Wanya can be the answer for you. Not sure if he's an elite tackle, but he can be the answer for you. The Chiefs decided to draft Kingsley Suamataia anyways in the second round. There were rumors they were going to take him in the first. I'm very glad, especially after what we've seen, that they did not take him in the first. So the question becomes, do the Chiefs need to draft another left tackle in the 25 draft? And I don't think so. And here's why. First and foremost, I am not ready to give up on Kingsley Suamataia yet. I think a lot of people don't understand that playing tackle in the NFL is hard. It is difficult. It is incredibly challenging. And it's really challenging when you've got a guy in Kingsley Suamataia that hasn't played a lot of left tackle in his career. This is a guy who's at BYU. He was a starting right tackle at BYU. And he was starting right tackle at BYU when they were independent. His senior year, he moves over to left tackle and they move up to the Big 12. They join a Power 5 conference. And he was going against Power 5 edge rushers. And he had some good performances and he had some performances where you got to see some weaknesses. It was one of the things I talked about leading up to the draft, during the draft. Kingsley Suamataia has issues with speed rushes. It's a big problem of his. It was the first thing I noticed when watching some of his tape. Yeah, he's super talented. He's an incredible athlete. I mean, you watch him, like one of the plays yesterday, it wasn't like a big gain or anything. It was like a four-yard run, but they did an outside zone run. And, you know, he pulled, he got out in open space, and you can see why they like him. He can run. He can get out there. He's violent. He didn't, like, lay a big hit because there wasn't really a whole lot of people to lay a lot of hits on. You know, he did kind of shove one guy out the way. But, like, you saw the athleticism that they really like. But Kingsley's one of those guys that's going to take some seasoning. He had some issues with his ability as a pass rusher. As a pass blocker. Especially against that speed rush. That speed rush, that was the move to get past him when he was playing at BYU on the left side. And it's definitely been an issue for him in his career thus far. He was getting beat with speed moves by Trey Hendrickson when they played Cincy, and they pulled his ass and they put Wanye in there. And it was an issue when they just put him back in because Wanye got injured in yesterday's game against the Broncos. Nick Bonito was putting to work on him. It's a hard position to learn. That doesn't mean that he's a bust, though. For a lot of guys, there's a lot of guys out there that don't immediately get thrust into that spot. I mean, Andy generally doesn't like to play rookies at the tackle spots unless they show him something. And it was out of character by the Chiefs to even put Kingsley in that position to begin with. And I think now it's very obvious they clearly rushed him when he had no business playing as many snaps, playing in the position that he was with his level of inexperience. Because now you're going from playing at a new position, a position you've only played one season at, and in a Power 5 conference, when you're used to playing, you know, the teams that independent teams play, and now you're playing against grown-ass men, professionals, and you're doing it at a position that you have not played very much at. Yeah, you're probably going to get your ass kicked unless you're just such a great developer and learner that you pick it up like instantly. And that's just not something you can expect. Let's not forget, Eric Fisher was garbage when he first started playing left tackle. He was not good. Now, he wasn't as bad as Suamataia was, you know, has been in the few snaps he's gotten this year at left tackle. But he wasn't good. And we know that. And we saw that. And all throughout that 14 season, his second year in the league, when he moved over from right to left, because remember, he played at right because Brandon Albert was the starting left tackle. We definitely didn't have any confidence in him playing left. And it was warranted because he wasn't that good. And if you remember, in 2014, we spent the whole year thinking that Alex Smith was going to get killed because of Eric Fisher. So let's give this kid a little grace. Let's let him develop. And hopefully the Chiefs don't have to put him in a position like they did yesterday. Yesterday was him playing out of necessity. Let's hope they don't have to play him anymore. Now as for Wanye, I think we've seen that Wanye is pretty decent. Is he great? No. Can he be great? Possibly. But I've always liked Wanye. I've always thought he had some potential. And I didn't like the fact that the Chiefs, it kind of feel like they were rushing to replace him after one season. Is Wanye great? No. Probably a bottom half tackle right now. And does Mahomes trust him? No, you can tell. Like Mahomes, his internal clock feels a lot like Alex Smith's was And because of that, there's been some times where Mahomes could take some shots, and instead he's rushing to get the ball out because he doesn't quite feel safe. That is a bit concerning to me. And hopefully Wanye can instill some more confidence in him by improving his play. It might be a little tough because of the injury he's got. Though, you know, what we're hearing is it kind of sounds like he's probably on track to play. He did go back into the game after his injury. And they were able to play well enough to win. You know, the offense did just enough. Special teams defense really did most of the work. But they played just good enough. Against a good defense, by the way. The Broncos defense is really, really good. But, you know, Wanye, definitely a guy that you... He's not Trent Williams. He's not Jason Peters. He's not Ronnie Stanley. This isn't Orlando Brown Sr. Is anybody like that? But I don't think he's terrible. He's all right. He could be really good in the future. We see that potential there. So I do want to give him a little bit of credit for at least stabilizing a position that if he was not here, there would be a lot of worries right now about the safety of Patrick Mahomes. I'm not freaking out. I'm not saying, yeah, they need to draft the left tackle early. I think Wanye Morris is going to improve. I think that Kingsley Suamata'i is going to improve. Kingsley is an incredible athlete. You got to think at some point it clicks. And if it doesn't, then, yeah, you go out there and you do what you can. But, like, right now, picking late first round at tackle, man, it's just so hard. It's so hard to try and hit on that. It really is. There's a reason why the Chiefs went and traded their first round pick to go get Orlando Brown Jr. from the Ravens in 21. Because that tackle class wasn't good enough. And I don't think this tackle class is bad, but like it's mainly top heavy. And teams are going to go out there and there's going to be a run on tackles again the last couple years. Because right now, these quarterbacks, there's a lot of young quarterbacks in the league, and there's a lot of really, really good edge rushers. And those edge rushers have an advantage on these O-linemen. So it makes a lot of sense for you to go out there and make sure you shore that position up. And, you know, if worse comes to worse, yeah, they will make a move. But I think right now the Chiefs, I think they're the kind of team, they bet on their scouting. They bet on their talent evaluation. And they bet on their coaching. And I think the Chiefs are going to do that again. And they're going to give these guys some grace to grow. So let's not... I don't think left tackle is going to be the pressing need of the draft class this year. I understand the panic, but let's wait a little bit. Moving on to the Week 11 recap. Starting off with Quinn Ewers, quarterback at Texas, a guy who was originally thought to be a potential first-round pick at quarterback. He's taken a major step back. I do not think he's a first-round pick now. 19 of 27, 333 yards, 5 touchdowns against my Florida Gators. I didn't even really watch the game because I was at the Kansas City Current soccer game that they had their quarterfinal matchup against North Carolina, and they beat that ass. It was a fun game to go to. But, you know, so I didn't get to see this. I'm glad I didn't get to see this because I didn't want to see my Gators get massacred on national TV. But yeah, Quinn Ewers did have a really good game. For KU, Devin Neal. 18 carries, 116 yards, 2 touchdowns. You also had Melo Dotson, one of the corner tandem that they have with him and Kobe Bryant. He had a pick in that game as well. Ty Felton from Maryland, 7 catches, 72 yards. Really consistent receiver. I've been talking about him the last few weeks, putting him on that list because he's a good day two option, I think. I think at this point now, you're not looking for an Xavier Worthy type. You're not looking for the next Tyreek Hill. You're looking for a good, consistent guy who can play in the slot, who can play on the outside if need be, because Rashi Rice has been playing more in the slot. He played more in the slot this year before his injury. So you probably want to get a guy who can play on the outside. Ty Felton can play on the outside. And then on the opposite sideline, because it was Maryland taking on Oregon, you had Evan Stewart, who had 6 receptions, 55 yards, and a touchdown. He's had a really good second half of the season because the first half wasn't really doing much. It was mainly Tez Johnson. But he's starting to put up some numbers there. And then edge rusher Jordan Burch, a guy I've been talking about throughout the year, he got a sack in that game as well. Moving on to Ohio State, you had Travion Henderson, who had 6 carries for 85 yards, a touchdown, 3 catches, and 43 receiving yards in that game. JT Tuimoloau, one of the 2 edge rushers that they have in there who could be first, second round picks, he had half a sack, and he also had 1.5 tackles for loss. And then the other edge rusher on the other side, Jack Sawyer, he also had a half a sack, and he had 1 fumble recovery as well. Edge Princely Omonmilin, former Florida Gator, now playing for Ole Miss, he had 2 sacks in the game. This kid is really starting to take off right now. This is a kid who could play his way into the first round. We talk about money makers. This kid has been making himself some money the last month. And I really like this kid. I liked him when he was at Florida. Last year, he was a guy that was getting some hype as a potential second-day pick at the very minimum, but could be a first-day pick. But his time at Florida, like last year at Florida, just there was a lot of dysfunction there. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1, it's $15 a month. 2, seriously, it's $15 a month. 3, no big contract. 4, I use it. 5, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Because of that, he did not play particularly well, and then he transferred out. And he ended up at Ole Miss, and he's starting to really put things together there. Cam Ward, quarterback for Miami, 25 of 39, 348 yards, 3 touchdowns. Now, Miami lost this game, did not play particularly well as a team, but Cam Ward still really talented as a quarterback. Still my top quarterback in the draft class. I think the landscape has kind of shifted a little bit for quarterbacks. We thought there could be, I don't know, 4 or 5 taken in the first round. I think it's probably a 2 or 3 at this point. Cam Ward's still my top quarterback, still my favorite guy in this draft class that is a quarterback. And even when he doesn't play his very best, even when the team doesn't play their very best, he's still a really, really talented quarterback. And I'm still really high on him. This doesn't really do anything for my confidence in him. Xavier Restrepo, their top wide receiver, 4 catches for 78 yards and a touchdown. This is a guy who might make a big Ricky Pearsall type jump going into the draft next year. I think that he's going to be a guy that at the Senior Bowl, if he goes, is probably going to be one of the best ones there. And you're probably going to hear him late first round conversations for the draft, if not early to mid second. Like, I don't think he's going to be there when the Chiefs are picking late second round. If they do pick late second round, they could trade up, they could trade out, you know, you never know. But I definitely don't think that he'll be there, you know, presumably a 64, if that's where he's picking, if that's where the Chiefs are indeed picking. Tight end Tyler Warren, 8 catches, 75 yards for Penn State. This is a kid I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you should definitely be watching out for. I don't necessarily believe the Chiefs need to draft a tight end because I think Rashi Rice has started to take on the Travis Kelce role in the offense. So at that point, like, do you really need a tight end? You just signed Noah Gray to a 3-year extension. But if Tyler Warren is sitting there at 32 or wherever the hell the Chiefs are picking in the first round, and if you watch any of his film lately, because like for the last month, he's probably been the best tight end in college football. Man, I have a hard time passing him up. Like, I think this kid, like, they have this kid making pass attempts. He had 2 pass attempts in this game for Penn State. Like, this kid is a talent. He is a physical talent. And I don't know if the Chiefs could pass up somebody sitting there at 32 or wherever the hell they're picking at with his level of athleticism and be like, nah, we're good. No, I think if he's there, you got to make that call. So I really like this kid. I think he could be a very spectacular player at the NFL level, especially when you've got Travis Kelce showing you the ropes. You got Patrick Mahomes throwing you the ball. You got Andy Reid calling the plays. Yeah, yeah. No, I like this kid a lot. Abdul Carter, the edge rusher for Penn State, he had 2 sacks. This kid is, I think he could put himself up there as the top edge rusher. Like, I think right now, most places I've seen have had Mykael Williams from Georgia as the top edge rusher in the draft class. Some still are in the James Pierce Jr. camp from Tennessee. But Abdul Carter, man, just incredible athlete. Just incredible athlete. Like, I look at him the same way I looked at, like, Will Anderson Jr. or Dallas Carter, guys like that. Incredible athlete. This, I think this guy is, of the edge rushers in this draft class, he could be the best. And I don't even know if it's really going to be that close. That's how much I like this kid. So, definitely, I'll say this. Combine, he might secure himself as the top edge rusher in this draft class. Combine's going to be really, really big for Abdul Carter. The just aforementioned edge rusher, James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee, he also had a sack this past weekend. Riley Mills, an edge rusher that I've been talking about from Notre Dame all season long, 3 sacks in Notre Dame's game this past weekend. This is a kid that hasn't been consistent throughout the season as far as production goes, but he'll have it. 2 sack game, then he'll have a 3 sack game here, you know, after a few weeks. There's something there with him. So I don't think he's going to be like an early pick. Probably, I mean, maybe even like a late day 2, early day 3 guy. But, you know, if the Chiefs want to go get a little depth, might be really interesting to go grab a Riley Mills. Running back Ashton Jeanty from Boise State, 34 carries. Man, his usage is going up. For 209 yards and 3 touchdowns. Jeanty is, the one thing that concerns me about Jeanty, he's like 5'9", 215. He's got a decent amount of weight for someone who's 5'9", but he's still 5'9". And the thing that concerns me about him, because I think he's probably going to go in the first round. Every mock draft I see has him going to the Cowboys as the Cowboys continue to lose games and their draft position improves in the first round. I don't know how likely it is they take him, because you could probably get someone who's at a harder to draft position. Like, you can go get you another edge rusher opposite Micah. You can go get you some O-line help. You lost Tyron Smith, so if you really feel like it, you can go get another tackle. I know they did draft a tackle there was it Patrick Paul, I think they got from Houston. I mean, they can get some O-line help. I do think running back is a need. Their running back situation is terrible. They probably have the worst running back room in the NFL, but, you know, am I immediately going to jump on the Ashton Jeanty train for them as they get into, like, the top 10? Nah, I'm not really there. I like Jeanty a lot. I don't think you take a running back in the top 10. I don't think winning franchises take running backs in the top 10. You want to take a running back in the 20s? Sure. You know, like, the Steelers took Najee Harris, I think, in the 20s, and he had a great rookie season. Last couple seasons have been pretty meh, but this season he's starting to put it together again. A lot of that has to do with the fact that his quarterback situation's gotten better. But, yeah, I mean, he's starting to put things together again. I don't know if I'm taking a running back before pick 20. Like, I just don't. Like, I don't know if, especially this class, because there's a lot of good running backs on day two. So, Jeanty's really talented. I don't know if he's good enough to take that high. Then you have Shedeur Sanders, quarterback for Colorado. Colorado really, really starting to get their stuff together here in the last few weeks. They're 7-2 now. They're ranked. I think they're 20th in the nation right now. You got to give them a lot of credit, because early on things were looking a little dicey. But Shedeur Sanders has been very consistent for the Buffs. 30 of 43, 291 yards, 3 touchdowns. Right now, he's definitely looking like a surefire first-round pick at quarterback. Again, I still have my concerns about, like, his attitude, his dad, things like that. But I don't think you can argue against the talent. The talent is there. The question is this kid going to be coachable? Is this kid going to be able to listen to other men that are not his dad telling him how he needs to play the offense, how he needs to grow as a player? That does concern me. Because, like, I mean, again, he's really talented, but the league is fickle. And you have a couple bad years, you end up like Anthony Richardson or Bryce Young, where they're just fighting to get their spots back. You know, It ain't easy out here playing quarterback today, because teams have expectations, fans have expectations, and the minute you start not meeting them is the minute they start trying to oust you. Travis Hunter, cornerback/wide receiver for Colorado. He had 9 catches for 99 yards and a touchdown. Super consistent. I don't care what anyone says. You want to talk about Tedderall McMillan, you want to talk about Luther Burden. Travis Hunter, to me, is the best receiver in this draft class. To me, like, if I were to give a comp, Davante Adams. Like, he's that kind of guy. He's a real good route runner, and he's amazing at tracking the ball, making a play on the ball. Doesn't matter if he's being interfered with, doesn't matter if he's being held. I'm going to tell you this kid is going to come in and just going to be the model of consistency at wide receiver. I don't think he's going to play corner. Like, I think teams are going to, in the pre-draft process, teams are going to be like, you're not a bad corner, but you're an elite wide receiver. And any team that, if a team lets him play on both sides of the ball, they're going to let this kid break down, because football, you only got so many hits in you. You only got so many routes in you. You only got so many catches in you. And at some point, your body just starts to fail you. And the last thing you want is to have a guy with double the wear and tear on him out there trying to play both corner and receiver. That's not feasible. It's not realistic. I understand it'd be cool because, you know, we have that in Major League Baseball with Shohei Ohtani, where he is a two-way player. He can pitch, he can throw. I mean, he can pitch and he can hit. He can play in the outfield. That's cool. This is football. Football's not one of those sports where you see a whole lot of guys who aren't quarterbacks or kickers or punters make it late in their 30s. You just don't. It ain't like the NBA where you see a bunch of old guys out there performing really well. Guys like LeBron James and Kevin Durant and guys like that who are well past what would normally be their prime and still playing well. Football is very, very dangerous and destructive to your body. The last thing I'm going to do is volunteer one of my best players to go out there and double the wear and tear. So I think he's going to have to make a choice, and I think wide receiver is going to be that choice, and I think he's going to be excellent at it. Taj Brooks, the running back for Texas Tech, who played Colorado this past weekend in a good game, he had 31 carries for 137 yards and a touchdown. Taj is a guy I'd really like on like third day. He's a very talented running back. He was one of the, I think he was number two in rushing yards in the Big 12 last year. He at one point he was leading the all of FBS in rushing. In like the middle of the season, he was leading the FBS in rushing. But yeah, Taj, really, really talented running back. This is a guy, I think, third day, good value. You go and get him. You can get a few years out of him. A lot of carries. You do worry about the wear and tear in his body, but a very productive running back, I think. My guy, edge rusher Antoine Powell-Ryland. He had a sack. He also had two tackle for loss. Obviously, one of those was a sack. Day three rotational edge rusher. Really like this kid. I think he could sneak up on some people. Nick Nash, wide receiver for San Jose State. Six catches, 161 yards, and a touchdown. He's one of the top performing wide receivers right now in FBS. And this is a kid, I think, day three, could be a steal for somebody. This is a guy I think is probably not going to go to a lot of fanfare when he gets drafted. If he does get drafted day two, because I think he could be a third round pick, I think a lot of people are going to be like, meh, you know, group of five school, not an elite player. I think he might surprise some people. This kid is a very good, he's a very consistent wide receiver. He gets a lot of targets. He gets a lot of catches. He is producing, and I think you got to give him credit for that. Ollie Gordon, 25 carries, under 21 yards, and a touchdown for Oklahoma State. And DeJon Stribling, seven catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown. He's kind of been up and down. I don't know if he's going to be elite wide receiver at all, but I do think he could be a good, decent contributor as like a third or fourth option, as a DeMarcus Robinson type receiver. That's kind of how I view Stribling. So moving on to my moneymakers, guys who I think, who me and Bink think, have performed well enough lately to start to get onto the radars of scouts and could potentially see their draft stock improve as the season goes along, and especially as you go into that pre-draft process in the late winter, early spring. My two guys, one, Princely Umanmilin, edge rusher from Mississippi. I've been singing his praises since last year. This kid is an incredible talent. And the thing about him, you know, I said like over the last month, he has been incredible. 9.5 sacks this year, so he's slowly starting to go up the rankings for the top producers as far as sacking the quarterback goes. He's got 9.5 sacks on the year. Nine of his sacks have come in four of his last five games. He's had three straight games of two sacks. And mind you, right now, Ole Miss is playing against SEC teams, which means he's playing against potential future NFL offensive tackles. And he's been whooping their asses the last month. like, this is a kid I think is really starting to make a name for himself. And if he has a really good Senior Bowl, which I think he will, I think he's an incredible athlete. If he has a really good Senior Bowl, if he goes, and then if he has a really good combine, I think you're talking about maybe a late first, but probably somewhere in that second round, maybe a priority early second round pick for him. If he does, if he looks really good in that process pre-draft, that's a guy I think you're going to see, like Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl. Jim Nagy's going to be talking him up, I think, a lot, especially Senior Bowl week if he does go. My other moneymaker is UCF running back RJ Harvey. Probably not a kid you've heard of unless you've been watching a lot of UCF Knights games. Right now he's tied for second in FBS in rushing yards, 1328. And he could achieve a career high in rushing yards, receiving yards as well. He is third in the Big 12 in rushing. He was third in the Big 12 in rushing last year. Right now he's first. And yeah, right, he's on the cusp of having his best season in college. He's playing up against Big 12, you know, Power 4 talent, and he's really showing out. And he's not really playing for like a great program or anything, but he's still doing really good against these defenses. So yeah, I got to give him a lot of credit for how he's playing. This, I think, with the shift that the NFL has had in the last few years. Well, in the last couple of years, really, where defenses are playing a lot of too high safety coverage, you know, a lot of cover two, cover four, cover six, cover eight, cover nine, you know, all that mess. Teams now, like running backs are becoming a lot more important. If you're playing fantasy, you understand that running backs have become a lot more important, especially with all these receiver injuries happening right now. It's very important to have a good stable of running backs, because those short yardage situations are a lot tougher now, and you're not getting those deep touchdown passes like you did before. I think I was seeing something yesterday that like there were only like 38 touchdowns scored yesterday in the NFL, or at least in the afternoon slots. I don't know what that number was, you know, in addition, you know, when you add Sunday Night Football, but in the afternoon slots, I believe it was 38 total touchdowns scored, which if you watch like Red Zone and whatnot, like me religiously, you understand that like generally it's like 60 to 70 touchdowns that are scored. And there's only like 38. It was real bad. I mean, there were three touchdowns scored in that Chiefs Broncos game, the entire game between both teams. That's how bad it's gotten. Look, this is going to be such an important draft, I think, for teams to be able to go and get themselves some running back talent to kind of balance things out, so you do have that air of unpredictability, because a lot of teams fell in love with the deep passing game, and it's a little bit tougher to run now. And so now running backs are becoming more important, and a guy like RJ Harvey could really boost his draft profile up, put himself in that second to third day conversation, and make himself some money with how he's performing this year, because he doesn't have quite as much wear and tear as some of these other guys do, and he's starting to peak at the right time. So moving on to the Week 12 watch list, the games and players you should be watching this coming weekend. I want to start on Friday. Friday has got arguably, I mean, you could make a case for him being the best receiver in this draft class. I won't do that. I think Bink favors him as his top receiver, though. Teteroa McMillan for Arizona. Arizona is going to be playing Houston on Friday night. The only reason to watch this is for Teteroa McMillan. I don't think he's going to fall to the Chiefs late in the first round, but you never know. Might be an injury concern or something. I've seen some mocks have him go as low as like the low 20s. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's probably a top 10 or top 15 pick, but you never know. He is a bigger, you know, 6'5", 215 wide receiver. So there's some safety there. There's, if you've got a mediocre quarterback, which like half the league does, a guy like Teteroa McMillan makes your quarterback a lot better, because you don't have to be perfect. He's got a huge catch radius. He's got a good vertical. This is a guy that's very sure-handed. He catches almost everything thrown his way. This is a kid I think, you know, could be an immediate producer for whoever drafts him. So, love this kid a lot. On Saturday, You've got number two Ohio State taking on Northwestern. Both running backs for the Buckeyes, Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. Emeka Egbuka, their top receiver, though I think you might probably make a case that J.J. Smith's a little better. But Emeka Egbuka is certainly someone that's getting some first-round talk. I think he's probably a second-round guy, but he's getting some talk there. Both guards for them, Donovan Jackson, Carson Hensman. On the defensive side, Tyleek Williams, defensive tackle. Edge rusher Jack Sawyer, edge rusher JT Tuimoloau, and then both corners, which are Denzel Burke and Jordan Hancock. Number five, Texas takes on Arkansas. Isaiah Bond, wide receiver for them, transfer from Alabama, definitely a guy to watch out for. He is, I think, of that archetype of, that Andy Reid likes. He's a Zay Flowers type guy. That's probably the comp I would give. I really like him a lot. I don't feel like he's not as dynamic as like Xavier Worthy was coming into this year's draft. But he's still an electric talent, and I think he could be a really, really good slot receiver. So like him a lot. Gunnar Helm, Binks guy at tight end for the Longhorns. That's a guy to look out for. Then they got tackle Kelvin Banks, who is getting some run as like a mid first round guy, and then defensive tackle Alfred Collins. Utah takes on number 20, Colorado. Tight end Brant Cuthie, who feels like he's been there. I think he's been there since before the pandemic. Cuthie is a guy that I was seeing on mock drafts like 3 years ago. He's still there. It feels like him and Cam Rising have been there for forever now. Cuthie's a guy to look out for. Though if he's going to go, he's going to go third day because of his age, because he's got to be like 24, 25 at this point. Shedeur Sanders, arguably the most talented quarterback in this draft class, certainly going to be a first-round pick at quarterback. And then Travis Hunter, the guy I think is the best player in this draft by far, should be the number one overall pick unless you got a team who really needs a quarterback taking a quarterback there. You've got Murray State, the Racers, taking on the Kentucky Wildcats. Two guys to watch out for are Dane Key, wide receiver for the Wildcats, and then Deion Walker, defensive tackle for them as well. This is a guy that's seen his draft stock fall a little bit. He was thought to be the best defensive tackle in this draft class, but at this point now, Mason Graham is kind of taking that over. But Deion Walker is a guy you could see late first round. And me and Bink have both been advocating for defensive tackle probably being your first round pick, if not wide receiver. I really like this Deion Walker kid, and this is a guy I definitely would look at to kind of fill that defensive tackle role opposite Chris Jones. Then you've got Mercer taking on number 11, Alabama. Wide receiver Jeremy Bernard, I think, could be a good day three guy. Then you've got both guards for Alabama, Tyler Booker, Jaden Roberts, defensive tackle Jaheim Otis, and then cornerback Damani Jackson. Penn State, number 6, takes on Purdue. Tyler Warren, tight end that I really like. I think me and Bink are both in agreement that he's probably the best tight end in college football right now. I was still kind of giving love to Colston Loveland, and Loveland might still be that guy, but Tyler Warren certainly played better as of late. So I think you got to give him the edge right now. And then the other Penn State players to look out for are both edge rushers that they have. Danny Dennis Sutton, who's probably going to be, I think, a day three guy. And then Abdul Carter, who could be the top edge rusher in this draft class. Certainly top three, but he might be the best guy at that position group. Virginia takes on number 10, Notre Dame. Tight end Mitchell Evans, guy to look out for. Howard Cross, the third, defensive tackle. I really like him as a rotational defensive tackle, probably late day three guy. But this is a guy I think could be a good like three tech pass rusher opposite Chris Jones. You put him in there, certain situations, he'll look good. Then you've got linebacker Jack Kaiser and cornerback Benjamin Morrison, who could be a first round corner. Then you have number 15 LSU taking on Florida. You've got tackle Will Campbell and tackle Emory Jones, the best tackle duo in college football. Those are two guys to look out for as well. Not really a whole lot of people in Florida you're going to be looking out for besides like Jake Slaughter, their center. But Chiefs don't really need a center because they just paid Creed a whole bunch of money. Number 22, Louisville takes on Stanford. Probably my best receiver matchup of the weekend. Guy, I'm starting to really kind of fall into, which is Ja'Cory Brooks, wide receiver for the Cardinals. This is a good, probably third round guy. I'm kind of feeling third, fourth round, something like that. And then my guy I would love to have, the Chiefs could get him at 64 or wherever they're picking in the second round. Wide receiver Elikiah Manner. I love this kid. I think he could play slot. I think he could play outside. He's an incredible athlete. He can make the difficult catches. Something about this kid just jumps off every time I watch him. And he's not going to get a lot of fanfare because he's playing for Stanford, and Stanford's not really that good. But Ja'Cory Manner, I think, is going to fly under the radar. I definitely think he's going to be a Senior Bowl guy, and I definitely think he's going to show out. If he doesn't, I'll be surprised. So if you're on the wide receiver round one camp or round two camp, these two guys are two guys to watch out for. Number 24, Mizzou takes on South Carolina. Luther Burden, man, I would love if he fell to the Chiefs. My comp for him would be a Ja'Marr Chase. I love this kid. I don't think he's going to be available there, but he's incredibly gifted. Rutgers takes on Maryland. Wide receiver Ty Felton for Maryland. Good mid-round guy to look out for. Number 12, Boise State takes on San Jose State. A couple of other guys I really like are one running back, Ashton Jeanty for Boise State. And then for San Jose State, Nick Nash, wide receiver. Arizona State takes on number 19, K-State, running back DJ Giddens, a guy who I think has started to play himself into that top five conversation for running backs. You know, he's had a good season. He's been pretty consistent throughout, gotten a lot of good usage. Like to see him get used more in the passing game, though, but this is a guy I think could have a good, solid NFL career, probably bounce around. I don't know if he's going to be a star running back, but I do think he's going to play a few years in the league, and he'll probably look good at times for sure. For sure. Number one, Oregon takes on Wisconsin. Oregon's loaded. This team might have the most talent of any of them on the watch list. You got quarterback Dylan Gabriel. You got their tandem of wide receivers with Tez Johnson and Evan Stewart. You got a tandem of tackles with Josh Connerly and Ajani Cornelius. Then on the defensive side, you got Jamari Caldwell, defensive tackle. You got Jordan Burch at edge, and then you've got Jabbar Muhammad playing corner. Number 7, Tennessee takes on number 3, Georgia. You've got Brew McCoy, wide receiver for Tennessee. I'm not the biggest fan of the Tennessee wide receivers. Brew McCoy, though, could be like a late round, like a Cedric Tillman type. Like Cedric Tillman, really talented, didn't get drafted very high, wasn't a lot of fanfare. But if you play fantasy, you know that Cedric Tillman has actually been one of the best receivers in fantasy the last few weeks. So he might play himself into a nice little payday, and he could have a nice little career in Cleveland. But Brew McCoy, very talented receiver, but hasn't been super productive. So maybe he can figure things out at the next level. Javonte Spraggins, guard for the Volunteers, guy to look out for. And then James Pierce Jr., edge rusher for the Vols, another, arguably the best edge rusher in this draft class. There's going to be back and forth debate between him, Mykel Williams, Abdul Carter. I would take Abdul Carter, but I don't think you can go wrong with James Pierce Jr. either. And then on the opposite sideline there, you've got Carson Beck, quarterback for the Bulldogs, for the Georgia Bulldogs. Beck's not a first-round pick. He's probably a second, maybe third day at this point. He hasn't looked really good the last few weeks. He looked terrible against Florida. I mean, the only reason why Florida was ever in that game was because he kept throwing it to teams in different color jerseys. But, I mean, yeah. This guy, I don't think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think he's probably going to be a journeyman backup. But, hey, maybe he can figure things out at the next level. But he's got a problem turning the ball over. Both guards for the Bulldogs, Tate Radledge, Dylan Fairchild, guys to look out for. Mykel Williams, you can make the case he's the best edge rusher in this draft class. Jalen Walker, the other edge rusher there. Good edge rusher, but, not an elite one. And then Smail Mondon Jr., linebacker for Georgia. New Mexico State takes on number 14, Texas A&M. Nick Scorton, a guy who I think would be a fit for the Chiefs. I think he's an edge rusher, but I think he probably would fit more as defensive tackle because he's like 6'4", 285 pounds. He's huge. I don't think you have a 285-pound guy rush exclusively off the edge. I think you probably put him as a three tech and hope that maybe he can learn something from Chris Jones and be the heir apparent to that role of being a guy who could play three tech but slide out to edge. But yeah, I really like what Skorton brings as far as the talent goes, and he's starting to put things together after, you know, having like a first month of the season that really wasn't that great. I mean, hell, we almost took him off our watch list. But he's a really talented edge rusher. And then you got Shamar Turner on the opposite end there. Shamar is more of your traditional edge rusher. Don't quite see it in him like I do Skorton, though. And then cornerback Will Lee for them. Probably a second or third day guy, but this kid's really talented. And then you got Wake Forest taking on UNC. A guy I like, I think he would be a fit as a rotational guy for the Chiefs as an edge rusher. Joshine Davis, been talking about him since week one. This kid's really talented, good size. Again, he is a Spags fit from a body size standpoint. He is a larger defensive end, and you look at him and you think he could probably flip between playing inside and outside, just like all these other guys. That's the kind of fit that the Chiefs like. They like versatility on their D-line, and he is a fit there. He has a good motor, kind of reminds me of Carl Loftus with his motor that he has. This dude just doesn't give up. He's got a really good power rusher, good in the run game. I like this kid. And then you've got, on the opposite sideline for North Carolina, you got Omarion Hampton. I love Omarion Hampton. Like I do. I don't think he has quite the upside as Ashton Jeanty, but Omarion Hampton could end up being the best running back in this draft class. He's smooth when he runs. Like when he gets the ball, it feels like he glides for like 5 yards. It reminds me of like an Arian Foster. And I think he's a guy that's probably going to sneak up on some teams next year when he gets drafted. I think he's probably a second round pick, maybe a third round pick. But yeah, this kid I think is very underappreciated, and I really like what he brings to the table. And then you got Bryson Nesbitt at tight end for them. He's definitely going to be probably a late round pick at tight end, but I'll be really interested to see in his athleticism how he tests it, like the combine and whatnot. Because, you know, there was this kid named Theo Johnson last year out of Penn State. Really talented kid. Didn't have a whole lot of production when he was with the Nittany Lions. But then he gets to the combine, and he got like a damn near perfect RAS score. And you saw him when he was doing the drills. I mean, the 40 time was nice in and of itself. It was like a 4.5 something. But seeing him run the drills the way that he did, and you can see that speed in the drills. You see his athleticism in those drills, the agility and whatnot. Bryson Nesbitt's a guy to look out for as a Theo Johnson type. If he tests really well at the combine, this is a guy that might be on some teams' radars late in the draft. Then finally, KU takes on BYU. Yet running back Devin Neal, who I think is probably going to be a third day guy. But I think he could be a really good value for whoever takes him. And he might end up being a steal for them, like a fourth round guy, because I think Devin Neal is a lot better than people give him credit for. And then you got both corners there with Kobe Bryant and Melo Dotson for KU. Those guys are probably going to be stars, gems on the second day. Really big fan of what they bring, especially Kobe Bryant. So that's the week. Was it week 12 watch list? So, A lot of good games going on this weekend. We're now getting into the final month of the regular season. Well, we've been in the final month of the regular season. And we just have a few more weeks left until conference play ends. You see those conference championships, and then we find out who's playing in the college football playoff, which is going to be really good. I'm going to tell you this right now. The college football playoff is going to be so great for scouts because now – instead of like now you're going to be playing against most likely other NFL talent. Like most of these teams are going to have a lot of guys who are going to be playing on Sundays in a year or two. And so that's going to be great for scouts because the scouts always look for those biggest matchups. That's why SEC talent get scouted so much, because those guys are going against other NFL guys, and you want to see that, because that's how you get a gauge of what these guys could potentially do at the next level. It's kind of like the ACT, you know, or the SAT. You know, those tests are designed so that you can get a feel for how a kid's going to do when they're a freshman at that school. Same deal with these games. These games right now are going to be the ACT or the SAT test for these players. So, really excited about where we're going here. I'm really, really, really happy about the college football playoff expansion. And next week, you know, if Bink is back, we'll have him back, and it'll be show as normal. If not, I will hold things down until he is able to do the show. For that, I thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to me ramble on about college football, my favorite players to look out for the Chiefs to potentially draft. And I would appreciate if you download, subscribe. Me and Bink would both appreciate if you download, subscribe, you know, share it with your friends. We appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to listen to us. My name is Christian Osero, and this is the Character Concerns Podcast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.